Welcome to the Pints and Polishing Podcast, the most influential and listened to podcast in auto detailing. Welcome to the community.
Hi, welcome to the Pints and Polishing Podcast. I'm Marshall. That's Nick. You can find us at hyperclean store.com. Check out the products there. Support American-made car care. Or go over to the HyperClean Specialist Group. Great place for you. You got questions, talk through with other specialists that are using HyperClean products. Nick, I'm sitting at a stoplight the other day. I don't know if this happens to you. Do you ever sit there and you're looking around and you're like, wait, there's nobody here. Why am I being stopped? And you sit there and you sit there. Now, I bet you in Vegas, are you one of those guys you just roll on through? You're like, screw this, flip off the cameras and you just go. I mean, is that you? Is that your move?
That was my move everywhere I've ever lived. It's absolutely ludicrous to me that I'm at a stoplight. Usually it's early in the morning. Right. There's nobody around and I'm just going to sit at this stoplight when there's not anybody for 10 miles in any direction. Now, for those that don't know, Vegas, very notorious for some long lights. You could be sitting there a while. Okay. So, you know, if it's 5:30 in the morning and I look left, look right, it's dark outside. There's nobody coming. There's no lights to be seen. I'm going to go ahead and just make the turn, you know, or roll through. I'm not just going to sit there like a jackass.
I think we talked about this on one of the late pubs, like one of the ones towards the end of the community pub, which was fun. You know, what do people do when they're sitting there at the stop? You know, are you going to go scroll through? This is what we used to do, right? Used to press those buttons and flip over to the next station.
Huh? Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. We had buttons and you press these giant things that you pushed in and out and they had rolled through, or those dials, right? Love the dials, and you'd roll through and find a different song to listen to if you were stuck on a commercial. But you're grabbing the phone now? Are you the phone guy? Are you picking it up? Because you say, hey, what am I going to do? Just sit there? Like, I was that guy. I did. I sit there, and I just sat around going, huh, well, what am I going to do?
Yeah, I phone, if it's, you know, usually when it's early in the day, you know, early in the morning, like we're talking about, you know, or there's just nobody around, I just roll through. If I'm at a light that's just a long light, I may pick up my phone, you know, cycle through a podcast I'm listening to, or hey, a podcast, you know, commercial came up, which, by the way, we've talked about on this podcast before, the amount of commercials on podcasts now. I mean, it's like AM radio all over again. I mean, I think I listened to an hour and a half podcast I like listening to on some sports stuff, and I think they had like 9 or 10 ad reads.
Hold on, let me read one.
Yeah, it's like it kind of defeats the purpose. I get why, you know, people need to pay the bills. I think it's gotten to that television radio. Yeah, I mean, sometimes I'll flip through my phone. Sometimes I'll just sit there, right? And if I'm listening to a podcast, I'll just hang out.
Okay, well, what about sitting in silence? Like, you laugh at that, but I just go, you know,
yeah.
Mildren, it is true. As he joked, foot out. You're right. So I'm in the Jeep. The foot's out. I'm sitting at the stoplight. Foot's got to go back in because it's a standard once it turns green. But I'm sitting there. What happens just being quiet and enjoying the cruise, enjoying the ride? Like, I wonder if we start to push back on all this. We talk about in life, you know, there's all this that goes into your mind. Well, what about where you're driving? Can we not just chill and enjoy the scenery of my beautiful Jeep as it's black and shiny? And people are like, oh, I'll never buy black. Well, unless you take care of it. If you're the person that takes care of your black vehicle, you can enjoy
great.
It. Yeah. So when do you ever do that? You're not that guy, though.
So
you're
for me,
go.
No, not really. I mean, if you know, this isn't a woe is me, but there are some days where you're on the phone a lot. You've had a lot of meetings. You've had a lot of, you know, 10, 12 straight hours of just having to deal with people or having to listen or, you know, whatever, that there are times I just get in my car and nothing goes on. Get in my truck and nothing goes on. I'd say that's probably 25% of the time for me. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of things behind the scenes that we're dealing with at HyperClean. Plus I have VR, I have, you know, some other investments in real estate. There's times I'm just kind of tired of noise and talking or, you know, any of that kind of stuff. And I think that kind of happened to me as I had a little bit more success in business, and more success begets more conversations, more meetings you have to be involved in, more things like that. And so I can remember back to when I was probably getting ready to leave the house. My family members were having a little more success at that time and going like, yeah, they would ride around with nothing on. Not all the time, but you know, mm-hmm. probably about 25% of the time. And it's like, mm-hmm. you know, silence is good every now and then. And yeah, man, I mean, I think it's one of these things that, you know, it's probably when I drive my BMW, I'm a little bit more inclined to kind of just enjoy the car. When I'm in our big family SUV, you know, it's not the most enjoyable drive I've ever had. You know, it's not like I'm like, wow, this thing's so fun. But you know, it's one of those things, man. I think that we're at a point. Yeah. I think there's a lot of guys that listen to us that probably have those times where they just don't listen to anything.
Absolutely. And you know, the big family mobiles, they're better with all the noise, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
I miss the screens and the kids watching movies and all the laughter and all the fun that goes on it.
100%.
I never was and could never believe the parents, and I know everybody's got their own reasons, but the ones that were, oh, it's got to be quiet in here. Like, it's a family car.
Yeah. No, I'm like, not. I'm not that way. I want to, you know, one of the best parts of having two young kids is the laughter, the yelling, the joking, yeah. the kids being kids. So that's, you know, last night we, you know, luckily we have a 3-row SUV. You know, we all went to a very nice restaurant, and yeah, man, I want my kids to be behaved, and we got compliments on that. But you know, my kids have times, you know, I want to come home. I want to hear them laughing, playing in the car, having a good time. I'm not the, I want kids to be quiet thing. That's not my thing.
Yeah. I love though, while you're sitting there, I love to look at cars when there's another car around. A car came up behind, and I love watching them in the rearview mirror for a minute to see what it is. You know, play that guessing game, kind of figure out, well, what is it, what model, that type of deal. I got a little confused. Here's one that threw me for a loop. It basically looked like a mini Tahoe. You know, as we talked about how in the past car manufacturers have gone away with that small truck, and they all went to that large truck. There's a part of the U.S. market that I found to be very interesting, and it is this compact SUV. As now somebody that owns one, I've kind of really looked into it a little bit more, as you just never really paid attention, because I never had a compact SUV since the Volvo XC90. Boy, I love that thing. That thing was a beast. It was a great
that was car. A great midsize SUV.
Yeah. So I see this 2024 Chevy Traverse. Now, not a fan favorite when we talked about the community pub before. Dustin never was a big fan of the Traverse. Those of us that clean Traverses, we all know there's parts of the interior that is not fun to clean, especially those tracks and moving the seats around and all the things that they boast about being so amazing on the vehicle. Not always fun for detailers. Here's the interesting thing that they boast about on the Chevy Traverse. Well, they've gone down from the 6-cylinder to the 4-cylinder and put a turbo. Why not? Yeah. That seems to be the answer and everything, right? Nissan did that on the Rogue. Let's go down to 3 and put a turbo. And, you know, then I run into more problems with maintenance because it's running hotter. So they're saying I got more horsepower than a 6-cylinder in the Traverse, but I'm 4-cylinder with a turbo.
Yeah, this is going to be the 4Runner slap in the face for all you guys out there that are just going to blindly buy the new 4Runner. It's going to sound different. It's not going to sound like it has the power it once had, even though the power numbers are better. Look, I think Chevy, look, they're doing, you know, not to get off topic, but they're doing this thing at Dean Martin's old house right now, I think, and it was last night or the night before, where they're powering the whole house for multiple days with their new electric, you know, truck. I don't know if Chevy is focused on all the right things. The Traverse looks bigger. It looks, like you said, more of a mini Tahoe. Now, I will say this, that my family is visiting from Ohio this week, and they have a High Country Traverse, which is the topped option Traverse, and they love it. They think it's one of the best vehicles they've ever had, and they've had it for a few years, so they got some miles on it. And I think you're going to see Chevy do what Chevy does, which is all of a sudden you're going to look at the Traverse, you're going to look at the Tahoe, and you're going to look at Suburban, and they're all just going to get bigger, and they're all going to be a little heavier. They're going to reduce the engine size, stick turbos in them. They're going to become less reliable because, again, this is kind of a flip of where these vehicles have been. And we know that Chevy's struggling mightily with the interior materials that they've made a choice of for quite some time. You know, I mean, we're seeing all kinds of stories of guys wiping down a steering wheel with, again, it's the detailer's responsibility not to be using such strong chemicals in 2024, but where guys are actually peeling the finish off of steering wheels, you know.
APC? Or are they doing that all? Let's go to the body shop. I can get you that super clean. We can dilute it.
You never know, but we're seeing pictures of it. I think Chevy's in an interesting position here because I don't think their brand is what it once was. I mean, the C8 Corvette is largely, you know, probably saved them in a big way, you know, optically, because they did such a good job with that car. And now they got the Z06 out and those types of things. But I don't really know what they're trying to do as a brand. It looks like they're going really heavy electrify when a lot of companies that are already in that world are kind of cutting back. So now Chevy thinks that they're going to buck the trend that Ford Lightning didn't buck, that Mercedes-Benz didn't buck. The EQS is largely a flop. They're giving those cars away now. I don't really know what they're doing, but if you look at their Traverse, it should be a big seller for them. But the bigger it gets, you know, I always say this, those mid-sized SUVs really spoke to the female crowd, right? Because there's a lot of females that don't want to drive a Tahoe. Uh-huh. And so as I see these midsize SUVs get bigger, I go, who's it really for? I mean, you and I aren't really buying a Traverse, okay? But your wife would buy a Traverse. If I just make it another Tahoe, she's probably not buying it because there's a lot of people that don't like driving that big of a vehicle.
It's like the Bronco to Bronco Sport / Jimny, right? Like, that's the idea. Now, the interesting part, I looked at a report. We've talked about it before, is who dominates that market. I looked at another report, and of course, right, it confirms the Toyota, Honda, Subaru, like all those people dominate the top 10 of it. That Bronco and the Bronco Junior, Bronco Sport, whatever we want to call it, Bronco 2 is what I'm always going to call it because that's what I used to own. He's doing a Bronco 2, not a Sport. It was a 2.
Yep.
And, you know, those popped up in the top, I think, 15 or so. Chevy doesn't hop in on this report until the this is what's funny, it's the Equinox, but it falls in right under the Mitsubishi Outlander. And I just go, man, I can't imagine anybody that drives a Chevy is excited about being beaten by a Mitsubishi.
Yeah, no, I don't know what they're doing. I mean, again, a lot of things have been covered up by the C8 Corvette, right? That you think of Chevy as this prestigious brand because the Corvette is everywhere, right? You see them all the time. People are buying them. There's large purchase numbers on them. People love them, which they should. It's a great sports car for the price. But you kind of look around and I go, am I that excited about the Silverado? Am I that excited by their big trucks? You know, I'd probably align more with a GMC Denali than I would, you know, something under the Chevy brand. Now I realize all those brands are connected in one way or another through the brand, but I don't know what they're doing. And, you know, you and I were around when Yukon Denali meant something, that people wanted to own those. I think that's lost its luster. They've gotten really out of whack price wise. They, you know, all of a sudden that's $100,000 vehicle when, I don't know, man. Most people are probably going to buy a Sequoia. They're going to buy a Land Cruiser. They're going to buy something else than paying $100,000 for a GMC Denali. Not everybody, because there's people that are brand loyal to that. But I think they have a little bit of a worry because I don't know what they're really trying to do. They're trying to balance this line as a brand. And again, if you're a Dodge fan, you got way bigger problems than Chevy. Okay, Dodge, I mean, it's probably going to have to be acquired or go into bankruptcy or something over the next 24 to 36 months. It's not like Chevy's going to go under or Ford's going to go under, but I think they've gone so far into these electrify things, and they've lost the plot of the movie, so to speak, which is just build some good vehicles.
Okay, so what do you think? I mean, should they ever at some point, it's hard to gosh, I mean, could you imagine in the meetings and having these calls to make, but could you ever present the idea of going, hey, listen, maybe we should cut our ties, cut our losses on some of these lines and just focus on what we do best? Would really minimize their footprint, but maybe it would guarantee that they've got a leg down the road. I mean, you know, right? We can't
look.
But
Chevy's been in bankruptcy, right? So Chevy's gone into bankruptcy before. 2008 crash, they were in bankruptcy. Ford is the only U.S. automaker that I think still to this day has never declared bankruptcy. I'm pretty sure.
Ford and Tesla.
Yeah, well, Tesla wasn't really that big in 2008.
Agreed, but they get to promote. They get to say it. You know?
Yeah, now I think they're showing a lot of cracks where that company may not actually be around if they don't change some behaviors and the way that they're doing things, because they've already look. I thought they were onto something trying to build a $25,000 vehicle, and they've scrapped that program. Tesla has because somebody's got to go after this sub $40,000 market. Somebody's got to. I don't know. Why Chevy? Why Ford? Why these companies abandon it? You know, inventory's piling up. Confusion in their lineups are piling up. I think what's going to happen is whenever the next downturn actually happens, we're done predicting it's going to be a tough year or a good year. I think even most hedge fund managers, most financial people, they can't believe we haven't had a recession at this point. Let's say it happens in the next 3 years. You'll see lineups cut. You'll see a lot of things get slashed. What happens is things get bloated during the good times, and there's never been a better time to be in the car business than 2020 to 2023. Right. So it's extremely bloated for these manufacturers. The next real serious downturn, I would assume 30 to 40% of Chevy's lineup will be revamped, discontinued, merged into other lineups. I would say the same for Ford. And that could be, and the next downturn could be the thing that squashes this investment into electrifying their fleet. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but they don't sell. I mean, Ford F-150 Lightnings are being given away, basically zero money down. That's only been out a year, you know, 2 years. I mean, what are we talking about? They're EQS. It's, I mean, you can get it zero money down, you know, very low payment. So we know it's not selling. And so, yeah, it'll take the next downturn, and then you'll see Chevy and Ford and Dodge, and everybody will start cutting things, and you'll see those overbloated lineups start to come back to reality.
Here's the part that I didn't understand, and as I kept reading more about the Traverse and where Chevy's at and what's going on with U.S. automakers compared to, you know, other automakers, as we, you know, especially as push as we do, is bringing back more manufacturing into the United States, big push for what we love as a brand. I got to start asking that question, right? Do they start to do that? When do they do it? I thought it was interesting that Chevy's answer and what they love so much about the Traverse and what they were doing over the next year to year plus is, you know, this Super Cruise. The Super Cruise was their answer. And there was a lot of comments about the Super Cruise, a lot of things going on. I didn't know it was so amazing. And I also did not know that it was so limited. I did not know that the Super Cruise was limited to only certain highways, only certain parts of the country. It's like, listen, Google Maps has figured out literally every part of the United States, but Chevy cannot allow all of their users to have this Super Cruise because they don't have all the highways and everything mapped out. And I just go, the hell? Like,
yeah. Well, this has been my argument for a very long time. The biggest missed opportunity in the car world was that Tesla didn't start doing all infotainment for every manufacturer. Okay. All the software, all the tech. I think if I own Tesla stock, I would be like, why doesn't Tesla do everybody's software in the entire world? Because Toyota tries to do it, it's not good. Volvo tries to do it, it's a little better, but not great. You know, Ford, Chevy, you go down the line, Subaru, you go down all these lines. Most of the infotainment, most of the things happening in these things are not good. They're just not good. I mean, they're good for us in a car because we make it work, but it doesn't run like your laptop, doesn't run as efficiently as an iPad. That's what made Tesla. When you get in a Tesla, you feel like you're working on an iPad and you go, okay, I understand this. Okay, this works really seamlessly, whatever. When you look at the autonomous thing, you know, we all need to just say what it is. This was a bleeding of money from so many different companies, from Apple to Google to all the tech companies that got billions of dollars that no longer exist anymore, to every major manufacturer of cars. Autonomous was not going to happen the way everybody said, because nobody could answer the simple question, who the hell's at fault if this thing wrecks itself? State Farm is on the brink in multiple states. Now you're asking them to insure Marshall, who technically wasn't driving the car, on a system that's largely not been tested worldwide from Chevy, from I mean, we're all just beta testers for this crap. Nobody knows what's going to happen. How many billions do you think State Farm can eat from autonomous cars acting crazy? Like, just to say it logically, it doesn't matter how much you love or hate the insurance companies, but this didn't make sense because you weren't taking all the players into account.
Which all you have to do is go search a little bit while you're sitting at a stoplight. Just go search autonomous car wrecks. I mean, they're up,
they're massive.
Like nonstop. Lawsuits are up. Like, it is a massive problem. You know, this is what I thought was interesting when we talk about the Super Cruise, is you read some comments and there's people that are going, hey, man, I love it. It goes around the slower cars. I just go, yeah, I mean, that is cool. It's interesting that it actually would change the lane and go around. And I go, huh, when do you think, now, of course, this is why your foot's out, you got to, you're sitting at the stoplight, your foot's hanging out the door, and you go, huh, when do cars start talking to each other? They're going to drive, and they're going to go, because, right, because we've got some new releases while we're talking about autonomous cars. Before we get into that and the autonomous trucks and all that, prediction. You want to bet a beer on it when it happens?
What?
I'm going 2030. I'm going 2030.
Autonomous?
That cars will talk to each other. Because this comment made me think, like, hey, you know, it loves going around slower cars. And I go, okay, eventually the technology has to, and we go back to that idea of the infrastructure's not there yet, right? The infrastructure to refill, in a sense, refill a battery isn't there, even though we get into all the talks about how much money was supposed to be put in the current government status, you know, whatever, we're not political, but whoever's in office right now, okay, just fill in the blank. They're always going to tell you whatever they're going to do for the future. Well, there's $7.5 billion that was supposed to go in. You go look at the infrastructure of what it's produced, and it's only produced eight stations. Now, there's people in California, they're raving about, you know, I guess over by the Golden Gate Bridge, there's this new filling station that you can go inside. And they really talk about this futuristic idea while only eight stations from a $7.5 billion infrastructure was supposed to be done. And you just go, okay, that's a massive problem. But now we're thinking about also, I can only drive on certain roads.
Yeah.
So
no, it's just,
all this problem, what do you predict? I'm going to go 2030. Are
when
you going to
say autonomous?
Never? No.
When we're autonomous?
Yeah. And they what? Talk. And they actually talk to each other, and we can actually.
No, we're nowhere. Happen. We're near. I mean, I'm not saying never. I'm saying you have to get Mercedes and BMW and everybody to work together. That's not going to happen.
Wow, that's crazy.
I wouldn't do it if I were in their shoes. You wouldn't do it if you were in their shoes.
All right. So Apple to Apple, we can do a lot of things via text message. Apple to Google, uh-uh. Apple
yeah,
to Android,
and look,
huh?
And Apple and Apple's been sued. Like, you know, that's why their new phone was a European lawsuit. Why they weren't allowed to use lightning cables anymore, right? So now they're back to what is it, USB-C or whatever for charging. You know, so things change, but people have fast tracked all of this idea. And this is where, and I know people probably get tired of me saying this, this is where dipshits in the automotive media, now they can tell me that they're not being paid. They can tell me that they're not, you know, influenced. But if you take a trip to Spain free of charge to go test the new C8 Corvette and you stay in a fancy hotel for 3 days, aren't you kind of being paid to say nice things about the C8 Corvette? I get it, man. I didn't take any money. Okay. Did you get put up in a nice hotel? 5 nice parties while you were there? Things you couldn't afford, right? You could never afford these things on your own. Chevy and all these car brands know that. So this stuff's been fast-tracked because of A, social media and the people that are quote-unquote automotive journalists, which, by the way, you maybe have one or two left in the whole world. So the rest of these people are not journalists. And they're all bought in. Just like I saw the Dean Martin house was being powered by the Chevy truck and the reverse charging. Oh, man, this is the future. And it's like, you still have to sell it. And if I want to run my house, I'll just put a generator on my house and save the truck payment. Because it will be less to just buy the generator that runs my whole house for a month. Would be a lot more efficient than buying a Silverado that could do it for 3 days. I don't see why that's a selling point. But this has all been fast-tracked through modern social media and people making others believe something that isn't true. Electric cars, infotainment systems, all of these things, they're not as advanced as everybody says they are. They're advanced for being in a car. They're not advanced for being in the real world. Our iPhone runs better than any car we've driven. There's no question. Is your iPhone smoother than any you've rented cars? Nothing runs as smooth as your iPhone. So how far is the infrastructure just in the car from the iPhone? It's light years behind. Now, yeah, could they catch up? But the autonomous vehicle thing, that they're going to talk to each other, that we're all going to be able to sit there and drink lattes and not drive our car. I mean, 20 years. I mean, minimum.
Dude, just relax, because don't worry. It's been talked about for years and years and years. I know it keeps getting pushed back, but don't worry. Apple's going to come out with a car.
Yeah, and they abandoned that. Like, you want to talk about a company that was like, yeah, there's no money here. We're good. We just flushed $10 billion down the toilet. We're out. Like, let's just chuck this up and move on.
I had real high hopes. But they've actually gone now and moved that money and no more into the cars. And they've gone, you know what? We're going to go and research AI more.
Yeah, sure.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and here's where I go to. If you think car companies are going to work together to make cars talk to each other, why hasn't any car company just gone to Apple and say, can you build our infotainment system? Here's $20 billion that we're going to flush down the toilet. Just run it yourself, right? Like, I believe Ford, it's either Ford or GM, so I'm not trying to misquote this, but I believe it's Ford that was like, hey, we're not going to work with Google anymore. We're going to go ahead and bring in our own team of engineers and build our infotainment system. Why the hell would you do that?
Why
would you do that?
Why wouldn't you at least go buy and take over Waze? They have enough money to take Waze. Like, it's a great app. You could have dominated. Yeah. Just take the Waze technology. You're good.
Yeah. But I'm saying, you know, all the software that runs your car, all the software that runs the lane assist, all the stuff that runs radar cruise control, why in the world am I not making a $50 billion deal with Apple tomorrow and say, for the next 50 years, you're in charge of running the software of our cars? When that stuff doesn't happen, and then everybody's like, you know what? We're going to have these cars. They're going to be driving themselves. The smartest tech people aren't being talked to by the car companies. But you want me to believe the car companies are going to get figured out how to not have their cars run into emergency vehicles that have the sirens flashing and the sound on, and they consistently run into the back 10 years into this project, but we're 5 years away from everybody just drinking a latte in their car and not driving it? The math doesn't math. Right. But again, this is what I tell so many of my customers. Stop reading people that write for Road and Track, for Motor Trend. The list goes on. Those people, and I don't want to say bought and paid for in the traditional sense of somebody gives you a check to say nice things. I want you to think through the mental state. Hey, I'm going to go to Portugal next month and I'm going to fly first class, and I'm going to go to all these first class hotels that I could never afford on my own. Are they paid with an exchange of money? No. Are they paid with multiple experiences every year? Like, it'd be kind of cool to hang out at Dean Martin's old house and have Chevy throw these grandiose parties and run it off the truck. Think about all the people that are being, oh, I can run my house on this. It's like, who gives a shit? Generators have been running houses in the Midwest and the South for 100 years. This is not new technology just because you can plug in your truck. Like, what? And by the way, if I need a generator on my house, where did I get the power to charge my truck to do that? Because down the street probably doesn't have power, so the electric charger's out. Where did I power up?
Great question. Great question. I still love my idea. I think they all go with Waze. They mean Ford needs to buy Waze, and then we just get it solved from there. That's the domino that starts. Like,
yeah, but here's the thing is they got so many electronics in these cars that they're not going to fix it with what they're doing. Like, no. It's obvious to anybody. I mean, they'd have to purchase 1,000 companies to fix how bad some of this stuff is.
Well, and there's not even, I have yet to see a car manufacturer riding around my neighborhood, let alone a highway, with a camera. But yet Google has people all over the place riding around with cameras on cars. So what are we doing here, right? Like, there's got to be some point where you start going, listen, I get it. You want taste of the future, and you want to have this taste.
Yeah.
Oh, you peasants. You peasants would just get a taste because it's only a $38,000 entry start to this, you know, mid-sized, what used to be a compact. Let's go and be real. It's a mid-sized SUV, and you're now going to get a taste. But, oh, by the way, you don't get to ride around on all the highways yet. You know,
yeah, but yet. I'd say this. I'd we say the same thing. The if the iPhone experience is 1,000 times better than anything I've had in a car, we're not close to what people think we're close to. You just got to look around yourself. Your desktop, if you have a desktop you like, your laptop, your iPhone, your Android device, that shit's all better, 10x better at the minimum of what's been going on inside of cars. And that just is what it is. And like I said, as soon as somebody who's in the quote-unquote media of automotive starts pushing the EV, autonomous, how great everything is, I just tune it out. And largely, I've had to unfollow a bunch of accounts because I'm like, dude, if you aren't bought and paid for, your actions make people believe you are. That is not a place you want to be.
You would actually want to listen now to the people that are pushing against it and are still promoting what has been going tried and true. It is interesting, right? Like, there has to be some Elon Musk that pushed the envelope. At the same time, there's got to be, you know, there's karma. There's got to be somebody going, yeah, but, like, tried and true needs to still continue on. But it is interesting there, right? Like, it is interesting as the technology continues to increase. And this idea that you're going to get a taste of the future, well, you know, they might ought to look over at some other cousin or sister company. I always butcher this name. Please help me out. What?
Alpina. Daimler. Daimler. Yeah.
Daimler Chrysler, right? Like, so they're pushing heavy, but they're going over into the full-size truck. Now, not like, hey, Silverado truck, but like, we're going to be a semi-truck and we're going to be autonomous.
Yeah, good luck.
Okay, but listen, we can go direct from, you know, stall to stall in a sense. We're going to go, you know, not cross more than one state. We're going to stay inside of highways. We're going to make sure that it's almost, in a sense, they're trying to say seamless, right? Like, this really becomes interesting when they begin to push back because they're saying they've achieved this level 4. Okay, got it. Listen. My bad. I didn't know there was levels of technology, but as you begin to go research and look at, there's level 1, level 2, level 3, level 4. They've worked with this new company. It's called Torque Robotics. It's inside of the cab. Now, they are saying that a predetermined route put in by a human will, they're saying, by 2025, they'll be able to do it.
Yeah, they got to raise money. You know, that's what people don't realize. Torque Robotics has investors. Those investors want to hear certain things. We all assume 20 years ago we'd be in flying cars by now. We all assume 20 years. Hey,
I watched Back to the Future.
Let me give you another one. Remember when we were growing up, all you heard was about the ozone? When's the last time you heard about the ozone? Probably 20 years ago. You hear all these things and all these warnings and all these promises. And you got to remember, man, people are raising money. People are getting to believe. They got to get people to believe an idea, not Marty and Nick. They got to get the people with money to believe in ideas, right? Because those people with money, be it a bank, be it a hedge fund, be it a private equity guy. Oh, you're going to have this by 2025. We don't want to miss out. Here's 50 million. Here's 100 million. Here's 200 million. We're going to invest. Sounds great. Look, I've always said that, you know, we have the tunnel system here in Las Vegas for the convention center. Those are still people driving those routes, even though they're predetermined and only Tesla can get down there. You can't drive down there as me and you driving a car. Those are predetermined. You could use places like Las Vegas where people go direct from the airport to the strip and it could be the same route every time. That could be used autonomously. It largely isn't. Even if you pre-programmed it, you don't. Computers do well with things that they can program for. You can't program for a ball coming out onto the street. You can't program for, you know, cars suddenly breaking out of the blue that shouldn't be breaking. So, I mean, don't sign me up for the autonomous or robotic trucks just yet that might be carrying, you know, 20,000 pounds of something with it. Could it get there? Yes. There's no doubt. I hope everybody hears that in my voice. It can absolutely happen. Is it going to happen in the next year? Good luck to you. Somebody's got to insure it. Somebody's got to sign off of it. Department of Transportation's got to sign off on it. Government officials got to sign off on it. You got to take people's jobs away from them. I think there's a little bit more hurdles here than just putting it on the road.
You know, the interesting play in a sense for, you know, manufacturers is when they're trying to mirror, well, now we've joked about it, is they'll mirror a look of an EV because they're thinking it's, you know, going to be the thing. You've talked about it. It is crazy to think. You've said it here on this podcast, but we have VW to think about. We're grateful. No, we're not. Are we? Maybe some of us are. Most of us don't remember that diesel debacle.
Scandal.
It's still today, scandal. Yeah, we could call it whatever. It's still today why I hope that I will become that old guy that goes, I'll never, right? Like, I'll never drive one of those. And I think I might become that guy that goes, I'll never drive a VW because you tried to win one over, because you tried to cheat, because you tried to hide. Like, and to your point about ozone, yeah, we don't know now that we're in, I don't know. All I know is during Corona, hey, we had the best sunsets. You had the best skylines.
Yeah.
Nobody was driving. Listen, I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to go, while nobody was driving their cars, I had the best sunsets for hours. You couldn't look at a TV like you could look at these sunsets. They were amazing. I'm telling you, they were best. For hours, we would just sit and watch the colors. So I don't know where we go and what cars do for the environment and all that. Are they good? No. Does EV solve it? No, it doesn't. There's a thing about cars, though. Man, the other day, just driving through the soccer parking lot because dropping off the kid. This is my move. I'm the move that I'm going to pull up and let you go. I'm not going to drive around looking for a spot. I'm like, hey, listen, here's a field. I'm going to stop, hop out, have a great game, and then I'll go find a spot down at the end. I ain't trying to park around all these other people.
Yeah.
And I take this little turn, and I see this beautiful. I really would love to know. And I looked it up on the website. I couldn't, for me and everything, it just didn't work. I'd love to know the name. I actually would love to know the color code and then work it into a product. I love that color so much. And this was in your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
The BMW.
Yeah, the Alpina.
Oh, gosh, that blue. And it was like this, like, it wasn't a light blue. I didn't want to say it was like this sky, but like metallic. I think that metallic blue. And it was just like, whew.
Man. Yeah. No, it's Alpina is an interesting thing. It's a lot like AMG for Mercedes. Alpina, I think, was founded like in the 60s, 65, something like that. Recently, I believe, got purchased in 2022 by BMW. I haven't really researched if that sale went through, but I think that's what happened. But Alpina was kind of like AMG was to Mercedes, right? There was this guy, and he was, you know, putting better carburetors on the BMWs than you could get from the factory, and he just became this upgrade specialist, you know, that you could send your cars to. And then all of a sudden there were Alpina, trim lines, and hey, you know, this is, then I'll partner with BMW, and BMW will send me some stuff, and we'll do some X7Ms, and we'll do some of this, and we'll do some of that. And so Alpina has an interesting history. And look, for anybody that details cars, Alpina's always had one of the rougher wheels to ever clean. Million spokes, very close together. It's interesting that the history of the AMGs and the Alpinas and these independent companies that basically align. You know, you see it with Dinan, who was very closely associated with BMW. Callaway, who was very closely associated with the Corvette. And those types of things. And you know, to me, with so many cars looking the same, for those with money, if they want a BMW, an Alpina is a nice thing to have, because not everybody has an Alpina. But a lot of people have a BMW. And so, you know, to me, we don't see a lot of our customers love the Alpina experience. It's a very, very small group of people that love Alpina. I don't think it's as popular as AMG.
Yeah, why? What is that? We were talking a second ago and we're looking at manufacturers and the way they handle different things. What's your take? AMG and Mercedes, the way they went versus...
Well, AMG... Yeah, AMG kept things pretty stock, meaning like the look of the car. Alpina... You got to really love those wheels. You got to really love some of the things they do on the body and on the interior. And you just have a lot of people that are BMW drivers. I think BMW drivers as a whole, especially the ones with the money, they don't look at aesthetic as much in past years as they do now. Right. So now you have more people in the BMW world that are getting into detailing. They're getting into, you know, preserving their cars, things like that. Where BMW to me was not looked at as the type of luxury that Mercedes was selling. Mercedes was selling this ultra luxury drive, where BMW was selling the driver's car. Come in here, rally this thing around, beat your car up. You know, you want to drive fast, you want a good handling car. It wasn't always aesthetics the way kind of AMG was aesthetics and interior finishes and things like that, as well as engine. I understand that. But I think Alpina has just been very big in Europe. You know, a lot of people really want to own Alpinas in Europe. I don't know that it's as popular in the United States as Europe. And I just think it's what the brand aligned with. You know, Mercedes took to AMG and they were very happy very early on that this was going on. I don't think BMW had that open arm mentality to the Alpina situation.
No, and it is interesting, right? It's interesting to see where different manufacturers go different ways. What I thought when I looked up the vehicle, right, because after I drove by it, and there was like 2 or 3 seconds as you turn that corner, and I just keep like that, you know, that twisted head, like, yeah, it wasn't a chick, it was a car. Like, yeah, it is what it is, you know? Like,
yeah, because nice.
Even though I'm colorblind, that blue was fascinating. It was fascinating the way the exterior looked. I had to go look at the interior, right? So I went websites, just Googled, right? Start looking through the interior. Well, you know, to me, I think the thing that's fascinating about BMW, when I look at this, I love your take. My take, I go, I can appreciate that they've stayed with the tried and true. Now, I haven't looked at every BMW on the interior, but when I look at some Mercedes and some other brands, when we've talked about Porsche And we talk about Alcantara. We talk about all the different surfaces that go in to some of these cars. I looked, now wasn't actually inside of it, so help educate us. But from the pictures, it looked very tried and true. Hey, we're going to stick to the leather we normally know, and that's about it. I mean, we don't have a bunch of other stuff inside of it.
Yeah, so, you know, they've, in like M2 competition series, some M3s, they've gotten into the Alcantara steering wheel game, inlay of seats, racing seats. But when you get to like an Alpina, especially something on the luxury side, they're going to stay tried and true. They understand fit and finish. Of course, if somebody wants some Alcantara on their steering wheel, I'm sure they're going to go ahead and throw that on there for them. But I look at this and I go, you know, BMW has made a lot of mistakes, or, you know, for me, as somebody that likes BMW, I'm not really fond of the modern BMW because of all the overthinking and seat racing seats when you don't need it and this and that and all that kind of stuff. And I look at this and I go, the good thing about, I would even say, AMG S580s and big, you know, vehicles and luxury vehicles is they largely have stayed pretty tried and true. You know, they really have stayed with the leathers, and yeah, man, they've updated the screens and maybe the screens are a little bigger, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, ultra luxury vehicles are staying more towards the way cars were built than rather all these new Alcantara everywhere. Now, again, that's not every brand and everything, but yeah, man, I mean, Alpina is really cool. If you haven't experienced them, or for those that you have, I think they're great to be around. I just don't think they resonated as much with the U.S. market. They didn't import as many here. BMW, I don't think, was as good a business partner as AMG and Mercedes were. And so you just don't see them all the time. So it's awesome to see in person.
Now, when you're saying tried and true, I'm with, like, the first BMW I remember being in had, and I remember specifically because it was like, wow, you have a phone in your car.
Oh, yeah.
And it was this bag that came off the side and this giant thing that sat there. And I just went, wow, one of my good friends at my neighborhood, his dad had a BMW and bought this BMW. And the first time I got to ride in it, I looked down, I went, huh. And they took this big bag that reached over and like, huh, it is really interesting. Here's what I love. When I looked at the pictures of that vehicle, I went, you know what? Some of those buttons looked exactly the same as before.
Yep.
Now, there was that twist dial that is more of that Mercedes and some of the people that have done some things, but a lot of those buttons looked very traditional BMW to the core. While I'm not a BMW owner, never have, not sure if it's in my wheelhouse, I can tip my hat. I can appreciate that they've done some things that stay traditional to the brand.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got to ask though, Nick, at 140K, is that you? You grabbing that? Or is that, you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and grab somebody else. If I'm at 140K to go in, is that you?
No, probably not. That's why Alpina's had trouble. I think that's why, you know, some of the Mercedes, you know, stuff they're doing at that price point's having trouble. I don't know what I would do at 140, but I mean, look, if I could find a good used Alpina from somebody, I'd buy it tomorrow. I mean, I've always loved them, you know, and I can say that I've bought a few for customers. I've driven a lot of them. I haven't purchased one for myself, but if I had the opportunity and I could get a good deal on one, I'd absolutely do it. I mean, it'd be something I'd want to do. Is it something I'm rushing out to do? No. You know, that wasn't like a childhood poster thing was buying an Alpina BMW, but I think they're cool. And if you're going to spend the money, it's a good thing to spend the money on and be unique. I think that's for sure.
Absolutely. All right. I'm going to keep enjoying my beer. Hope everybody has a great week. Enjoy the weekend. Guys. Make sure, hey, you're going to hear this on Saturday. Make sure you got one more day. This is your heads up. You got one more day till Mother's Day. Don't forget.
Oh, yeah, I know. I got to get – that's what I'm trying to get off here, Marty. I got to get some things ordered.
The best thing you can do for your mom, get her some HyperClean car care products. Wait, what? just right, go guys. Clean your mom's car. She would love it. It would be wonderful.
Yeah.
Everybody, right, have a great weekend.